Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:20, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 1st. And perhaps the most noteworthy thing that happened in here today was that you had fairly substantial dollar weakness. And when you look at the dollar index, and I think that's perhaps the index that the vast majority of currency traders really do concentrate on, it's that the short-term oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average has now been completely unwound. So this is a natural area of resistance for the dollar, and at least some consolidation of what has been a very impressive rebound over the last 6 weeks was warranted, and we do appear to be getting that. So the euro was stronger by about 55 ticks in here, and the yen was stronger by almost 1.2 full yen. So you know that's obviously weighed on the Japanese stock market. But it was a pretty broad-based story of dollar weakness, because the Australian dollar was a little bit stronger, and that has been firming over the last couple of days. So against that, then, it's probably worth highlighting the currencies that were not stronger. One of them was the British pound. It was down 68 ticks, and of course the reason for that is because there's continued speculation that the UK voters will in fact vote to leave the EU. But of course, what we can anticipate before, you know, within the next 3 weeks before that result, is that sentiment is going to ebb and flow, and then that the emotionality of the debate is likely to only increase as the stakes really are very high indeed. And that's particularly the case for the rest of Europe. And with the euro a little bit stronger in here today, well, then that also acted as a tax on some of those European stock markets, and they were all pretty much in negative territory. So, you know, certainly Europe needs a weaker currency, and they didn't get it today, and that was particularly the case for both Spain and Italy, which were down in excess of 1%. The FTSE was down about 0.2%. But when you look at what's happening here, it is really all about a dollar story. And when you look at precious metals, then, it's rather surprising they didn't rally more, considering that it does look like at least the dollar has encountered at least short-term resistance here. And there is potential for, at least if there's follow-through tomorrow, that would suggest that this is, in fact, at least near-term resistance. It would confirm that hypothesis. So silver actually finished down on the day, down 2 cents, but it was down about 13 cents in early trading and recouped almost the entire thing. And in the last sort of hour and a half of trading, there's a deep oversold condition, and you can see that with your eye. And we're back now at a potential area of support around the $16 area. That was the upper side of the underlying trading range, and silver has pulled back almost two full dollars. Gold's pullback has been much less, so it was only down almost $3 here today, but it's still continuing to hold that $1,200 area. And again, $1,200 is a reasonable area of potential support. And platinum, it's a very similar story. There's a short-term oversold condition there as well. So if the dollar is going to pull back, then that should act as at least a near-term source of a bullish catalyst for the precious metals. And because we have these short-term oversold conditions, that a lot of the froth has been already blown off of this sector. People were getting really very enthused about precious metals just last month, at the beginning of last month at least, and now we've seen that you know, the interest in the sector has decreased. So it is perhaps time to start becoming a little bit more interested once more. Then when we look at the rest of the world here, the Filipino market is worth highlighting, because it was stronger and countermanded what was a fairly weak day yesterday, and Duterte continues to pad his cabinet with people that he claims that are of sound integrity, and that he continues to say that he's going to try and clamp down on corruption, and that is a very important diversifier in terms of what he's trying to do there. Quite how that is achieved is probably not going to be to everybody's taste, and particularly if that results in a clamping down on the free press. But if he can achieve an improvement in the corruption standards in the Philippines, then that should translate into a further improvement in the stock market. Then the Hang Seng was relatively unchanged in here today. It was only down about a quarter of a tick. And the same thing with China. So a little bit of a breather following what were fireworks yesterday, up over 3%. And then there is perhaps an open question is there was a big move in the Chinese market in 2008 when they were talking about opening up the Stock Connect between Shanghai and Hong Kong, but it didn't happen, and then prices came rattling back down in Hong Kong. And then when it was eventually opened up, it was done so with much less fanfare. And there is the potential that perhaps there'd be much less fanfare on this occasion when there was such a large move last year in anticipation of the entry into the MSCI Emerging Market Basket. But it may in fact happen without the fanfare on this occasion. But I think I would continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent upward dynamic, and that was certainly upwards yesterday, and it's certainly in line with this higher to lateral ranging sort of base case that we've had, where the authorities don't want to have the market pulling back very sharply, but neither do they want it to be spiking higher. So it has pulled back, it has found short-term support, and then the potential entry into the emerging market basket for MSCI is a potentially bullish catalyst. And the Chinese are also related to this pop in the Bitcoin price that we've had, and that's breaking out now of what has been I think it's a 6 month range, more correctly I think it could be described as a first step above the base, and that is at least being driven by Chinese demand for an alternative to the renminbi and an attempt to avoid currency controls, trying to get money out of the country for whatever reason that might be. Then in the bond markets, the big news story today would have been that the economy is expanding, it continues to expand on a relatively mild trajectory. Bonds were relatively steady. There wasn't anything really to scare them there. But it continues to look like we're going to see the Fed raising interest rates. And that's probably something that is being digested by the bond markets at the current time. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. And I wish all the best to all of you.